Someone's out to get me. That's what David must have thought as Israel's King Saul tried to kill him for 10 long years. Many people face perennial attack by those who want to do them harm. What drives these spear throwers? And how do we as believers handle long-running attacks from others? Today, a biblical approach on what to do when reconciliation is not possible. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. Turn with us to 1 Samuel chapter 10 as Dr. Lutzer comes now to speak on dodging spears.
I have to begin today by asking you a question. Have you ever met a spear thrower? A spear thrower is a person who hurts others. Spear thrower is self-absorbed. He could be called a destroyer. And sometimes he's very religious and he does this under the guise of verses of scripture and spiritual commitment. I'm not talking about people with horns. I'm talking about people with whom you work in your office. I'm talking about the family that you married into. You know, those wonderful, loving relatives who turned out to be very dysfunctional and very obnoxious. You know, they're the ones that I'm talking about. In fact, spear throwers are everywhere on every level of society. And as we shall find, spear throwing is something that you and I can do as well. In fact, there may be many spear throwers who are listening to this message. But remember, we've learned, haven't we, that they are always thinking it applies to somebody else. Well, spear throwers, why am I preaching on this? Because we're in a series entitled Suffering Wrong. As part of the series, I'll be speaking on the topic of Christians taking others to court. Paul says, would you not rather suffer wrong? I'm going to be speaking about the high cost of reconciliation. There's a price to be paid to be reconciled to others, and it's a price you and I must be willing to pay. All that is part of the series. We've spoken about forgiveness. We've spoken about people who take offenses into their souls and keep them there. And so today what we want to do is to find out why God allows spear throwers to exist, sometimes in prominent places, and also what the lessons are that God has to teach us because we are next to a spear thrower in the relationships of life. I'm thinking of King Saul. King Saul is a very interesting study. As a matter of fact, in a hotel room in Canada this past fall, I took out about 2 hours to outline what I would hope someday would be 6 messages on Saul, because he is so fascinating. But it's going to have to be a while before I preach those messages, because this, in effect, is a summary of all of those messages thrown together. Saul was the kind of man who was afraid of the people, the Bible says. One thing you discover about spear throwers is this, that it is not necessary for them to be good, but it is very necessary for them to appear good. To a spear thrower, appearances are everything. But who is this man called Saul? Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. That's where we're beginning today. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Israel needs a king, and Samuel is commissioned by God to find the one whom the Lord would choose. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his, that is on Saul's head, and kissed him and said, has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel, and you shall reign over the people of the Lord and will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies? Characteristic number 1 of Saul, he was anointed by God. Chosen by God, anointed of God. Second, you'll notice that he had the prophetic gift. Samuel told him that the Holy Spirit of God, verse 6, will rush upon you and you will prophesy and you'll be turned into another man. Verse 9, when he turned his back to leave Samuel, that is when Saul turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed on him, and he prophesied among them. And the people said, "Is Saul also of the prophets?" And the answer is yes, the prophetic gift. He was striking in appearance. The end of the chapter says that when they were going to crown him, they couldn't find him, apparently because of his humility. He was hiding somewhere, and they brought him out, and he was taller than everyone else. All of us know that the people who are tall get the breaks in life. And so there is Saul, who's also tall. And I hope to do better than that later on, but... But here he is, a specimen of humanity, the very kind of man that every godly woman in Israel would like to marry. Because women who are godly, they desire a man who has spiritual leadership. They desire a man who is committed, a man with a prophetic gift. They desire someone who has oil on his forehead put there by the ordained will and the purpose of God. This was your best seminary student that a young woman could possibly marry. And he had all those gifts. That's not the end of the gifts that he had. He was also one who could put an army together in the next chapter. If we read it, he puts an army together and he wins victories for Israel. God's man, for God's possession, for God's use among the people, for that moment in a nation's history. What goes wrong with a man like this? What's happening? For this, we have to turn to the 18th chapter of Samuel, not 19, but 18. You'll notice in between time, David kills Goliath, and it says in chapter 18, verse 6 of 1 Samuel, as they were coming home when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines and with songs of joy and with musical instruments. And the women sang to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Verse 8. Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s. To me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day a harmful or evil spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David evaded him twice. Anointed, called, gifted, prophet, spear thrower. What are the characteristics of a spear thrower? Let's look at these characteristics of King Saul. First, he believed that the kingdom was his and not God's. The kingdom was his and not God's. Follow carefully that in chapter 15, he disobeyed God. That comes before 18. In chapter 15, he disobeys God. And Samuel says to him, "Because of your disobedience, God has taken the kingdom from you and is going to give it to somebody else." What should Saul have said at that point? Saul should have said, "Oh God, the kingdom is yours and you can give it to whomsoever you will. I disobeyed you. I have no right to this kingdom. It was a gift from your loving hand to mine. Give it to whomsoever you will." That's what he should have said. But he's going to hang on to the kingdom until his knuckles turn white. He will not give up that kingdom, for anything. There are people whom God blesses. He puts them in positions of authority. He gives them vocations. He may give them money. And yet when you try to remove them from the kingdom, even though they may be under someone else's authority, and you try to remove them from the kingdom, they become angry and violent, and they become very, very upset, and they'll turn out to be spear throwers because they think that the kingdom is theirs. And no one has the right to take my kingdom from me. Could I say it among my peers? I've known pastors like that. No one will take this church from me. I've seen pastors split churches down to 20% of their original membership because nobody's going to take this kingdom from me. You worked with people like that? People who maybe have bypassed their youthfulness, they think that the minute they leave, this organization is going to collapse, and they have no idea that if they were to leave, the organization would finally earn some money and gets on its way. I'm connecting now, huh? Believe the kingdom was his, not God's. Secondly, obsessed with insecurity and jealousy. What more can David have but the kingdom? Paranoia. He didn't have to fear David. David was not going to grasp the kingdom. He didn't have to fear David, but there is this within him. Everybody's out to get me. This is going to happen to me, and everybody's out there, and I can't trust nobody. And because I can't trust nobody, I'll cut everybody down and make sure that I begin to manipulate so that I can keep the kingdom. Another thing about Saul that we can put under this that I can mention only hurriedly is he will blame others for his failures and be quick to take credit for other people's successes. That's the kind of a heart that Saul had. Have you met someone like that? This is Pastor Luther. Well, I'm sure that we have all met someone like that. You know, the older I get, the more, amazed I am at the disparity that exists between our opinion of ourselves and how others view us. As you look at this in work relationships and so forth, we usually have this idea that we are so important and what we are doing is so wonderful that to think that the organization could get along without us is simply, well, what shall I say, unthinkable. And yet the fact is that God has other people waiting in the wings, other people who may be more talented, more gifted, more successful, and you and I need to be content with that. So I ask you today as we conclude, are you, my friend, content with where God has placed you, and is your kingdom his or yours?
Erwin Lutzer with part one of Dodging Spears, the fifth of eight messages on When You've Been Wronged. Tomorrow, learn more about what drives those spear throwers around you. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.